aging. You know, we're all doing it. So why do we have such a difficult time facing the reality of it? Okay, this is Phil Tower, your host for This Day and Age. And stand by, we've got a brand new episode just about to happen here. But I wanted to talk to you about aging. The reality is you can't stop the march of time, but you don't have to dread it as it happens. And it does happen. I am really pleased to be with you in this episode, and we've got some great information as we talk about the impact of having a positive attitude as you age. And you know what? This is not easy to believe, but it's true. There's some really easy, actionable things you can do to help shift the thinking about aging. And the most amazing thing is it's easy to do. There's not a book to buy. There's no seminar to attend. There's no long-term contract to sign. And there's nothing behind the third door. It's as easy as gaining wisdom on the benefits of having a positive mindset as you age. And here's the best part about this. During this episode, we're going to talk with Carol and Judy, Holland Home residents, and ask them about some tips about having a positive mindset as they age. I am looking forward to this. I know you will be as well. So be sure to stick around, because at the end of the podcast, I'm going to share three big takeaways with you about why having an upbeat, positive mindset as you age is so important. And those are three really important things. So stick around. And one other thing, we asked some people on Facebook what they do to stay positive as they age. We got a bunch of comments, and you will love to hear those answers. Those are coming up later in the episode as well. But stay tuned. Are you ready? The next episode of This Day and Age starts now.
What was the question?
Oh, that's funny.
The people who are actually doing something are the ones that you should look at. And sometimes I think people who are negative, not just as they age, but all through life, they look at people who have more than they do, who've done more than they do, who are better than they are. They fail to look the other way and say, look how fortunate I am. There are people who don't have the health that I have, who haven't had the opportunities that I've had, who haven't had the relationships that I had. We just look the wrong way.
If you want to end up with a positive attitude and a good attitude, then you better start now, because it isn't something that you can just suddenly put on like a new hat. You're going to have to work at it a little bit.
Hi, and welcome into another episode of This Day and Age. I'm your host, Phil Tower. And you know, while growing old is a part of life and it should be looked at as a privilege, aging is often viewed as something that must be endured instead of enjoyed. Yeah, there's a lot of negative attitudes about aging. So we are going to do our best to bust some of those myths about aging. And believe me, they are all myths. And in this episode and throughout this season of This Day and Age, we're going to dive into how choosing to age with a positive mindset. I know that sounds like a throwaway thing, but it's really a real powerful thing. That positive mindset will open the door to making healthy lifestyle choices, being more present. Boy, don't we all need to be present, and having an overall greater fulfillment, leading to an aging experience that is enriching and rewarding. And goodness golly, isn't that how life is supposed to be? So we thought we'd pull in a couple of aging adults, and whatever that is, I just think they're two pretty amazing people. I've already gotten to spend some time with them. It's my pleasure to welcome to this episode of This Day and Age Carol Holquist and Judy Markham. Both are residents at Holland Home. In fact, where we are recording this episode, they are very nearby. We have gathered to talk about them, to get their tips on aging with a positive attitude. And I can tell they are full of information, full of wisdom. And first of all, Judy, welcome to the program. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Phil. It's good to be here.
And Carol, welcome as well. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And for full disclosure, you guys know each other. We've established that from the start. How long have you known each other?
45 years or more, 50 maybe.
Yeah, I don't do math, but since 1975, okay. Figure it out.
How long is that?
That's yes. Almost 50 years. That's almost 50 years. Yeah. And where did you first meet?
We met at work. We both worked at Zondervan Publishing House at the time.
Sure.
And that's where we met.
Yeah, I want to talk about, we're not going to get too personal into your lives, but I would ask you, first of all, and we'll start with you, Judy, share a little bit about your life. Born and raised in Michigan, West Michigan?
No, I was born in Niagara Falls, New York.
All right.
Lived there for several years, and then my family moved to North Central Pennsylvania, and that's where I grew up, went to college in Western New York, and then I spent, I came to Grand Rapids in the late 60s, met my late husband here, and I spent 52 years as an editor in book publishing.
Wow.
I was a book publishing editor. I retired in my early 70s.
And for you, Carol, I know were not born in Grand Rapids, right?
No, that's right. I was born and grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, but I'm not an Ohio State fan. I'll make that very clear.
Okay, thank you for establishing that.
I came to Grand Rapids to teach English and French in a previous lifetime and discovered that I wasn't all that good at that and I didn't want to do it. So I married my husband, who was a Grand Rapids person, and we raised our family here in Grand Rapids, and I too worked in Christian publishing for a long time.
And that's where you guys met.
That's right.
Yeah, at Zondervan Publishing.
Right.
You know, we're talking about the power of having a positive mindset as you age. It is a real thing, but you are two people who are here to share your thoughts in this. And I'd like to have you, first of all, talk a little bit about your journey through aging so far. And we don't need to divulge age, but as you thought about when there was a period in your life, it may have been as you were married, or maybe it was recently in the last 10, 15 years where you started thinking about, what am I going to do with my old age? And again, we're not going to divulge age, but I guess I'll start with you, Judy. As you thought about the quality of life you wanted to have as you aged, do you remember when you first started seriously thinking about that?
That's a good question. I think for so many years, you just don't think that you're going to get older. You get older, but you don't think you're going to age. And then something like COVID comes along and they start talking about all the people who were so susceptible, and you think, oh, I'm one of those.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't think the word aging ever came into my thinking, but the reality of getting older did. And I've had some landmarks along the way that both of my parents died relatively young. My father died in his early 40s. My mother died in her early 50s. And so I came to these points in my life where I had lived longer than either of my parents, quite a bit longer than either of my parents. And that was kind of a reality check.
Yeah.
Reality check.
Yeah.
So,
hey, I am older.
I am older.
Chronologically,
yeah.
It proves it. I've outlived my parents. You, Carol, I'm going to ask the same question. When you first started to think about growing old, how you wanted to do it, and what have you learned so far about this thing called aging?
Well, I was the youngest of four children of older parents. As far back as I can remember, I thought my parents were old. And it never occurred to me that I was going to be that old someday. And lo and behold, it starts to come, the aging process. I don't think I really thought about it until my husband passed away. And I was faced with the reality of coping with that grief, with selling the family home, with deciding, what is it that I'm to do now? And based on the kind of person my husband was, I knew he would have expected me to do something good with what years remain to me. And so that sort of plays in the back of my mind. How do I do that? How do I make things a little bit easier for my children? How do I adopt a lifestyle that honors my faith and honors my commitment to try to do something positive.
Yeah, and I like how you said that you know, the expectation was there that you weren't going to just sit in a chair and mourn your husband the rest of your life. You were going to get out and live life.
Oh, he would have wanted to boot me in the rear end if I had done that.
Well, that's good motivation. I would think, you know, and it's interesting as you say that, because that kind of motivation, and I'm thinking as you say this, when you think about what life would be like after a spouse passes. I mean, that's not something we normally spend a lot of time thinking about. We don't want to think about that, but I'll share this with both of you. Did you think about that much, Judy, thinking about life without a spouse and what that would be like and how you would plan and how to have a positive quality of life?
I didn't think about it a lot, but I was aware of it because I watched my mother go through that. Losing my mother was in her late 30s when she lost my father. So I saw, you know, up front and personal what it meant to lose a spouse. Then when my husband became ill with pancreatic cancer, his immediate diagnosis was inoperable, terminal, mm-hmm. and with possibly a few months to live. Well, we had a year together, but during that year, that was a real time of facing reality and how do I not only do the best for my husband while he's here, love him, care for him, not knowing how much longer I'll have him, but then what do I do beyond that? And and we talked a lot about that. Both of us were very realistic about life and death and facing that. And he spent that last year of his life doing many things to make sure that I would be okay when he was gone.
What a great thing, Judy.
It was. When he was in the hospital getting the diagnosis, he started making a list. He was there over a Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, most people talk about a bucket list. Robert's list were all the things he wanted to get accomplished so that I wouldn't have to take care of them. And we had both shared, you know, our responsibilities. It wasn't that he took care of everything and I didn't know how to do anything, but just things that he knew he could take care of and I wouldn't have to.
You know, I'm struck by this. You're both talking about that incredible transition of being with someone for a great period of your life, your spouse, and then they're gone. But then living through that, having the power and the desire to live well through that and learn through that. But I'm curious what you would say to the couples who may be listening to this, or adult children of older adults who maybe don't want to think about this, because Judy and Carol, there are a lot of couples who don't want to talk about this. It just happens and they're like, oh man, what do I do now? So being deliberate about this is really important, isn't it?
It really is. I think my husband died very suddenly. And so I sort of did this processing after the fact and, you know, went through the why me kind of thing.
Sure.
And that couldn't last forever. I knew that. And I just sort of came to, I have to live in the present. I can treasure the past. I can anticipate the future, but I need to live in the present. Mm. And so that has kind of colored decision-making and attitudes and even the kind of help I ask for from my kids. You know, I can do this myself now, and I've gotten myself into some real bad situations trying to do things for myself.
But at least you tried.
Judy could tell you all about that. Okay. We won't go into my accident-prone
Oh, maybe tendency. Just a little bit, Judy, please.
Tendency. Just a little bit.
But I've tried to focus on how do I make this present life as pleasant for myself and for my children and for the people around me. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. You were going to say something, Judy.
Well, it is real. I would just say ditto to what Carol just said. It is important to face reality, but you don't, I would say that to the people you mentioned, you know, who don't want to think about this or think that if they think about it, it's going to happen tomorrow. It's important to face that there will come things in the future that you can't anticipate and that one of you will, barring something very odd, one of you will go before the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to take care of things like wills and thinking about what you're going to do in the future. But you don't have to dwell pessimistically there. You just, okay, this, at some point, life's going to bring this.
Yeah.
And we know we don't have the grace right now to handle it. When we get there, we will. But we do have to think ahead a little bit and plan. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's actually very good wisdom. And Carol is jumping at the bit here to say something.
I think if you don't do that, it denying reality, denying what could happen, doesn't take away the possibility that it might, but it robs today of its joy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, rather better, it seems, to look at what you have today as a blessing. Yes. My husband used to say that all the time when I would say, well, what about this and what about that? And he would say, we are not promised tomorrow. We are promised this moment. And beyond that, we let tomorrow take care of tomorrow.
That's good advice. It's almost like he was foreshadowing the future.
Well,
in a sense.
In many ways, he was older than I,
yeah,
and very concerned about what might happen to me. He's sitting in a corner of heaven someplace wondering who turned me loose with a checkbook, I'm sure. But
there could be worse things. Could be many worse things, Carol. I want to ask you, but I'm having so much fun. I've got some really important things I want to ask you. And one of them is, there are a couple of different mindsets about aging, that you either have to endure it or it's a rite of passage, something to enjoy, something to just savor, especially as you get older. And, you know, you have these opportunities, but some people look at it with dread. You just got to endure and just grab onto it and deal with it as you can. I want to ask you both about that mindset. Did you have that endure mindset and did it change, or has it always been, hey, I'm just going to jump into this with a positive attitude? I'll start with you, Judy.
Well, again, I think back to losing my parents at such a young age. I had many great aunts and uncles who lived well into old age, but, you know, losing my parents so young, I have to think of aging as a blessing, you know, that there's a reason that God's allowed me to live this long, and I need to do something good with that. I need to somehow make a difference in those years and not see them. And I realize it's maybe easier to say that when you're sitting here relatively healthy at this age. And so I just have to speak from, that's the only point I can speak from, mm-hmm. But it's not an endurance. It's been a blessing to give this many years, to have been given this many years. Now, what do I do with them?
Yeah. I love that. I love that. And Carol?
Well, I think the sense of purpose needs to be there, particularly for the Christian, in every part of our lives. And that's doubly true now because the days are short, relatively speaking. So what do we do with those days? And it's not that you have to sit and contemplate that all the time, but that is really there. What how can I help others? How can I be a blessing to others? How can I encourage others? How can I look at others' example? We live in a community where there are people who don't have good health and who still can maintain that smile. And just this week, somebody approached us with her walker full of little cupcakes and said, "Would you ladies help me celebrate my 94th birthday?"
I love it.
And it was just precious. I mean, she was fixed up. Her hair was done. She was beautifully dressed, and she had all these pretty little cupcakes.
So wait a minute. I gotta unpack this. She just approaches you in the hallway,
yeah.
on her walker with the cupcakes. She's not gonna sit in her apartment and just be alone and, I am another year older.
No.
She's gonna go out and she bake some cupcakes and share them with people.
Yeah,
I love everything about this woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was lovely.
It was a really special moment.
Yeah, it was. And I didn't know her. Perhaps you did, but I didn't really know her. But I think, too, to look to people like that, and it's almost like having little children, and you look at people who've made it through. You know, they've made it through raising children and raising teenagers, and you think, oh, I can hang in there. It's that kind of incentive.
Yeah, I like that. And you know what? It's a perfect lead into the whole idea of having a positive attitude, not only as you age, but I mean, we've had experience, life experience. You guys have certainly had many years of life experience, married, then after marriage. And I think it goes without saying that life is generally better with a positive attitude. But talk about that. From your experience, and that woman with the cupcakes had to have exuded a positive outlook on life. As you were saying, the whole fact that she was using a walker, she had a disability, but she's full of joy. She fixed herself up. It's her 94th birthday, and she's going to have cupcakes with anybody in the hallway that she can find.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. But that's that positive outlook, right?
I think so, and I think it's also exhibits a willingness to accept change. Our bodies change, our minds change, our situations change, but the constant is that, yeah, we've been given this life for a reason. And we can't just say, this is the way it's going to be, and I'm not going to accept anything else. One sees people like that,
mm-hmm.
and the person they make most miserable is themselves, and the next most miserable person is whoever has to either live by them or be in the family with them.
Yeah, I love that. I just want to ask both of you, are there things you do to keep a positive attitude? I can tell just in this amount of time we've been together, you guys are the kind of people that I know people would enjoy being around because you have an upbeat attitude. But come on, Judy, what are the secrets here? What are the tricks? What are the things you've done through your life to maintain a positive attitude as you age?
Well, I love retirement. Now, as I told you, I worked into my early 70s.
Good for you.
And but when I was ready to retire, I knew I was ready to retire. It was time to turn it over. I loved what I did. I absolutely loved it.
And you were probably great at it, too.
I don't know about that, but I loved it. And
she was.
It was a wonderful vocation, profession. I got to work with wonderful people and writers and some high-maintenance people and writers, but I loved it.
Okay.
But I absolutely knew when it was time to hang up the computer and the pen and the deadlines and... And I love retirement. I love the time to do discretionary things, time to go out to lunch or breakfast or supper anytime with friends, to have that flexibility, to go to classes at Calvin for the continued adult learning classes. Every possible subject under the sun, and it's delightful. You're learning. But you don't have to write any papers. And again, you don't have any deadlines, but you can enjoy these the professors and the people in these classes. As you talked about life experience, we think about I think about the campus here where we live at Raybrook, the life experiences that are under these roofs, and the things these people have yet to contribute to each other, to their neighbors, to younger people. To me, that opens up whole other worlds. But yeah.
So retirement was really something that kind of kicked that positivity into a next year.
This is the new. I think of these stages as my new normal. You know, now what's my new normal now?
Right, and you're comfortable with that.
I'm comfortable with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. What about you, Carol?
Well, aging also does allow you to exercise some prerogatives. You know, if somebody wants to do something on a given day, I'll say, no, I've already got something to do that day, and I'm not going to do two things that day. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a positive. I also think the ability to learn things that you're not required to produce something from. In other words, it's
No more papers.
It's not like you have to learn a skill that you're going to have to put into practice. And it gives you an opportunity. Maybe this is back to the how do you be yourself, to do the things that you like to do. Again, contribute. I think Judy and I both, and we read, we watch films, we interact with people about those things. We both have served on boards. When you're old, people think you know things, and they put you on boards, and besides, you work for nothing. So that's wonderful.
That may be the quote of this episode. You're old, you know things, you're going to be on a board.
You're going to be on a board.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope nobody listens to this episode who runs a nonprofit, because you might be getting some phone calls. I'm just saying. By the way, you're hearing an episode. This is really a podcast of This Day and Age, and we are having a delightful conversation with a couple of Holland Home residents, Carol Holquist and Judy Markham, and we are talking about the impact. Can you tell this is all about having a positive mindset as you age? It's interesting. I think the benefits are many for you guys, but for that curmudgeon out there, for that crotchety person in their 40s who's looking forward to a long life, why would you tell them, and I'm going to start with you, Carol, and then we'll go to Judy, why should they have a positive attitude? Why is this important?
Well, okay, this sounds flippant, but think about how you'd like to be remembered. Do you want to be remembered as that curmudgeon? You're going to be remembered somehow. Your family and your friends are going to remember you when you're gone. So is that who you want to be? Is some grumpy somebody who is very critical? And the role of critic is the easiest role in life to play. The people who are actually doing something are the ones that you should look at. And sometimes I think people who are negative, not just as they age, but all through life, they look at people who have more than they do, who've done more than they do, who are better than they are, in quotes. They fail to look the other way and say, look how fortunate I am. There are people who don't have the health that I have, who haven't had the opportunities that I've had, who haven't had the relationships that I had. We just look the wrong way.
And what would you say to that crotchety, curmudgeonly 35-year-old or 45-year-old? Because we all run into people who are even chronologically young who just have a negative outlook on life. And when we call them Debbie Downers, there's people who just aren't fun to be around. But as you age, that becomes a liability for you.
It does, because it will only get worse. Our skin doesn't get less wrinkly. The wrinkles get deeper. And so the crotchetiness will just get worse.
Yeah.
And if you want to end up with a positive attitude and a good attitude, then you better start now, because it isn't something that you can just suddenly put on like a new hat. You're going to have to work at it a little bit. But I really like what Carol said. How do you want to be remembered? I just read a great quote the other day. I think it was from Margaret Atwood. I'm not sure. But it said, in the end, we are all stories. And so what's your story going to be? What are they going to tell about you? Are they going to be really relieved when you're gone? Or are they going to be sad to see you go?
You know, we can't turn on the TV or look at a magazine or maybe even watch a movie without that ugly, still out there, negative stereotype about old people. And it's still there, even though old people are pretty much taking over the world today, you guys. How do you feel about that, Judy, when you see negative, stereotypical portrayals of older people?
Well, if there's one thing I'm not positive, it's about that.
That drives you crazy.
Yeah, it really does. And I know there you can get, and I see this on Facebook and other places, you can get some really funny things about older people using computers and things like this. But I think, hey, folks, we've been using computers for years, and our generation, I don't know if we invented it, but we certainly, it was where it all began.
Yeah.
And so I don't like to see that kind of negative stereotype perpetuated in advertising, in social media. And again, I don't have any problem with some laughter about some things because we all poke fun at ourselves and we poke fun at our foibles. But to go back to something I said earlier, the experience that is resident in the people around you who are aging is amazing. And I see that in my neighbors. I think, look at the life experiences these people have had, not just in what they've done in vocations, because that's true, but the things they've suffered, the losses they've had. Many people who have lost children and how they have endured that and moved through that and moved on in life. I would really hope that younger people step back a little bit and recognize the wealth of experience that's available to the older people around them and in their lives, and that they would appreciate that and take advantage of it. I think there's a place in is it in Sweden? It's somewhere in one of the Scandinavian countries where they have a residence of elderly people and college-age kids living together.
What a great concept.
And helping each other from both ends of the spectrum, because we want to appreciate what's there in youth, too. We don't want to treat them as a stereotype either, but it works both ways.
Carol, what about you when you see that movie with, you know, an unrealistic stereotype of an older woman or man?
Mm-hmm. It makes me think a couple of things. One of them is perhaps we haven't done a good enough job of telling our story. We are the children of the 60s. We made great strides. We made great changes in society, not all of them good, but we really pushed the envelope for a lot of things. Do you know about that, you younger people? You know, are you very eager to sweep us off the stage so that you can get on with whatever it is that you're interested in?
I'm so glad you said that. You're the rock and roll generation.
That's right.
That's right.
I mean,
Mick
Jagger is 80. The Rolling Stones are 80. It is such an unusual...
Bob Dylan is 82.
Yeah. It's such an unusual thing that stereotype persists. Does that surprise you?
Oh, it does, because I think of these people as still young, of course. But, you know, I remember trying to explain to my children, who are probably your ages, that what it was like to have the premier civil rights activist, the president of the United States, the attorney general, executed within a few years of each other. and what it was like to go to college with young men who went to Vietnam and never came home. You know, what it's like to see the names of people you knew on that wall in Washington, D.C. It was a turbulent time. And yet people who survived it and who learned from it have made great changes in our society. And they're the thinkers. And I'm a little concerned now about people who, let's not even say college, learning is just to get a better job. No, learning is for life, and learning goes on.
I'm curious about you, Carol. Did it take some time to adjust to, first of all, life without a spouse and just kind of living at Holland Home, that new kind of life? Were you comfortable right off the bat, or did you grow into that?
Well, I worked a few years after my husband was gone, and that was tremendously helpful during that transition.
Sure.
It really was. It filled a lot of gaps. But my husband used to say he was a model for good retirement. That's not for this discussion, but he was. And he used to say, if you are what you do, what are you when you're not doing it? So again, reinventing yourself to think about where you are at this moment. Those are all adjustments, the things that you mentioned, the losing a spouse, moving, looking to being in a different spot in a different way of life.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think, as Judy said, that all comes at once. You know, people as they age sort of are what they are, only more so. So get going and be as positive as you can be. You know, if you're contemplating a move to a retirement community, think about all the good things. Think about the things that you don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
I don't care if the roof leaks. I don't care if the garage door opener doesn't work. That's not my worry. That's somebody else's worry,
yeah.
And they'll figure it out. So again, it's being thankful for the things, the positives.
I loved what you said about, you know, the person you are younger is what you're going to be older. And I'm just curious, Judy, this version of Carol, she's as good or better than she was than the one 25 years ago? What do you think? Has she improved or just kind of plateaued?
Oh, no, I think she's better. Yeah, except for the stories I could tell you, and I can't tell those.
Well, we'll save those for the Judy and Carol follow-up episode, because this is probably going to set a record for downloads, and we'll have to have you back. Okay, so Carol is the version of Judy today, sitting across the table from you, as good as the one 25 years ago, probably better.
Well, she was wonderful as a younger person. She sort of took me under her wing and rescued me from what was not a wonderful employment situation, and helped me develop a lot of ways. But, you know, it's almost hard to say, because we know each other so well and we understand each other. And yeah, she hasn't improved as far as listening to me is concerned. So we could work on that.
Okay. It's out there for everybody to analyze and,
for everybody to know
and understand. I want to, as we close this conversation, which I regretfully say we have to wind this up at some point, I want to ask you what you would say to someone listening to this podcast who's wondering about advice. What would you tell them, maybe the top one or two things about living into old age with a positive mindset? And I'll start with you, Carol. Just picture a 35-year-old out there who maybe has been dealing with an older parent with a health issue, and they're kind of having that reality check about growing older. What would you say to them about having a positive attitude as they age?
Try to keep an open mind. Try to let your mind let new winds blow through it. Not that you have to adopt every idea that's out there, but entertain it. Turn it around. Think about it. Chew on it. The other thing I would say is, don't ever give advice unless you're asked for it.
I like that. Judy, advice to a 35-year-old or a 40-something who's wondering about, should I have a positive attitude as I age? What would you say to them?
I was thinking along the same lines, the first thing that Carol said, always be open to learning new things. I was probably helped in this because I was an editor and I worked on so many different types of books and ideas. I was always learning something new, and I think I have carried that through the rest of my life. And be open to learning new things. Look for ways to do that. And I would say the same thing: be open to new ideas, and also look outward. How can you make a difference for somebody else? I thought that so often when I was preparing to move here, and as I moved into this neighborhood, which I love, but I really prayed almost daily, how can I be an encouragement to my neighbors? How can I be an encouragement to those around me? I don't know what I have left that I can accomplish in this life, but I know that there's a way to do that. But you're looking for ways to do that. So I would say to younger people too, look outside yourself. How can you make a difference as you get older?
I absolutely love that. Can I be your neighbor? Do you have any openings nearby? I'll have to ask my wife if we can move in, but I want to live by you guys.
Well, you're certainly welcome to.
You two have been a joy. I want to thank you so much, and I know our listeners have appreciated your sharing of this wisdom, these stories, and the things learned from life from Carol Holquist and Judy Markham, both residents at Holland Home, probably appearing on stage somewhere soon near you. Just guessing. Thank you so much for being here, Judy. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I wanted to take just a moment to jump in here and share some feedback from listeners like you. People we asked, what's the number one thing you do to maintain a positive attitude as you age? Dave told us, reading scripture every single day gives me peace, and I also think it's very important to get out into nature and be in the world that God created. Renee said, I work with or volunteer with children. It keeps me truly young. Marilyn said, pickleball helps keep her in a positive mindset as she ages. And Joel said, and I love this, keep up with new music. It's a great way to keep a positive attitude as you age. And oh, by the way, Joel added, be sure to hang with people younger than you are. I think that's some pretty good wisdom as well, and some pretty easy things to do, including pickleball, to maintain that positive mindset as you age. And as we promised, I told you I'd give you three big takeaways on having a positive mindset as you age. First off, the research is overwhelming. The science is crystal clear. Study after study shows that having a positive mindset as you age will actually help you live longer. In fact, people who had a more positive attitude about their own aging lived on average 7.5 years longer than those who didn't have a positive attitude. That is amazing. Second big takeaway, when you have a positive mindset as you age, you're actually going to reduce the likelihood of becoming a disabled. It is no doubt, and I think it is this way for me, one of the greatest fears about getting old is losing independence, the ability to take care of yourself. Does that relate to you? Well, it does with a lot of people, and here as well, the research is overwhelming. Having a positive mindset and a positive self-perception as you age will actually help reduce the likelihood of both a cognitive and physical decline, especially when you throw in a little exercise and an active lifestyle along the way. And our third big takeaway about having a positive mindset as you age: negative stereotypes about aging and older people are everywhere, but they are a myth. And here's the amazing thing. You actually can just simply adopt the mindset you're going to reject those negative beliefs and have a positive mindset about your own aging and about older adults. The science is consistent. Once again, people in their 30s who had negative attitudes and stereotypes about getting old and aging were significantly more likely to have a cardiovascular event, yeah, like a heart attack or a stroke later in life, than those who had a positive attitude about aging. Pretty powerful stuff right there. And those are just three takeaways of an overwhelming amount of evidence about having a positive mindset as you age. And that is really simply the key to a better and longer life overall. How about that? So as we close this episode, I have truly enjoyed, and I want to thank our guests for their wisdom and wit on aging with a positive attitude, Judy Markham and Carol Holquist, Holland Home residents, a couple of women who have clearly mastered having a positive attitude about their own aging. And do us a favor, share this episode with a friend or a loved one, and don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a future episode. And you know what? If there's a topic you'd like to hear us cover on a future episode of This Day and Age, we would love your thoughts and ideas. You can email us at hello@thisdayandage.org. Again, that's hello@thisdayandage.org. You never know, one of your ideas may end up being a future episode. We'd love to hear from you. And be sure to stay tuned for our next episodes, where we'll be covering a range of topics, including caregiving for an aging loved one and the wisdom that comes with aging, allowing you to embrace change and cultivate resilience along the way. And until next time, for This Day and Age and Holland Home, I'm Phil Tower. Thank you for listening.